morning, faithful podcast listener, and thank you so much for downloading our little podcast from Italy. Good morning, Ashley.
Ciao.
I am Jason, and together we run, own, operate La Tavola Marche, an agriturismo cooking school and little slice of heaven in the foothills of the Pieni Mountains, central Italy, Piobico. It is the 26th of February. It's a little later today because we have a dog. We have our neighbor's dog we have a giant Rhodesian Ridgeback sleeping in front of our fire. Oh, yeah, I'm talking to you, buddy. Sleeping in front of our fireplace. So he wakes us up promptly every morning at between 6:30 and 7 and wants to go chase deer through the hills.
Yes, it's a great way to get out in the morning. We've been so lazy lately that it's a... Gosh.
Not lazy. Well, in the morning.
In the morning.
Like I like to have my cappuccino.
I know, but with this dog, there's no choice. It's an hour and a half walk into the woods. But it's also gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
Been so beautiful. You hear the birds. It sounds like spring. It looks. Gosh, this morning when we were on the walk, it felt like April.
It did. I was wearing just a hooded sweatshirt, and it's the end of February. It's absolutely insane.
Spectacular.
It's 10:38 in the morning, so it is a little bit later than the normal time we do our podcasts. We have plenty to talk about.
Yes, let's jump right on in.
All right, go for it.
So we celebrated good old Gaji's birthday.
The doctor, we talked about it a little bit last week. The doctor, old Gajster, turned 65 years young, and he had a little birthday party down the road at Valpietro, a restaurant in between our house and Piobico. It was very nice.
It was. He's very funny, and his friends all confirm he must always say the opposite that you're saying and how feisty he really is. And even if he doesn't believe it, he'll take the stance against you. And we were all kind of talking shit. It was great. It was really fun. And he enjoyed
it.
He loves it.
He loves it.
He loves being the center of attention, and loves kind of riling it all up.
Whether you're praising him or talking shit, he doesn't care as long as you're talking.
And he loves telling his friends that he's in the publicity for, like, when we were in USA Today, one of the pictures online was of him. And oh my, que grande. Oh, and he likes to talk about he needs modeling fees and
things. He wants to know what his commission is.
And I told him he gets cafe and hugs, a lot of love. And he said he wants at least 8-year aged whiskey as well.
So we didn't end up doing the gag gift for God. I don't know.
It's not the same sense of humor.
But I'm afraid it just won't go over.
I know. We got him a great bottle of.
We got him a super expensive bottle of single malt scotch. 35-year-old, so he'd much rather have that.
He's very happy.
So that was last Sunday, which was great. And
Monday we started driving school.
Oh yeah, I sucked it up. We're going. We're doing driving school. It's fine. It's just like driving school in America.
But since when are like 18-year-old Italians wearing peg leg jeans?
Oh yeah. Okay. So let's talk about that real quick. So we go to this class 3 times a week in the evening. We're going to start going. We can go in the afternoon or the mm-hmm. morning, which I think we're going to do.
Because for sure.
It's a room full of 17-year-olds.
It's like take you back to high school immediately. I never felt so old.
I felt really old. And I don't remember juniors or seniors in high school looking so little. Looking
that
so
makes
young.
You sound old.
Because they look like babies. Okay, first of all, we spend a lot of money for this stupid class, and these kids think it's high school. So everyone's having conversations with each other. And this instructor is up at the top trying to tell these girls on his left to shut up, and he's touching the boy behind him to be quiet. And it's like, I spent like 1,500 euro for this class. Shut up.
I know.
I think we're going to go in the mornings when it's probably more adults or moms who don't work. Or
exactly.
Something like that, because I can't deal with
it. But it was great to go and just see for the one time going, oh my gosh. The guy was great though because he spoke really slowly.
He enunciated mm-hmm. everything because there's a lot of words that you wouldn't. I mean, as our second language. When would you learn some of these technical words uh-huh. for driving? So it's great. Tons of new vocabulary. It's not going to be that bad. I'm just such a baby. I just have to suck it up and do it.
Bitch and moan.
I bitch and moan and groan about the whole thing, but.
Well, we're doing it.
Yeah, before you know it, it'll be over and I'll be legal to drive in Italy. So everyone rest easy. Not that I'm not legal now.
No, but before you know it, things happen kind of slow here too. Like, we finally got an email that we've been approved to do manual credit card charges.
Okay.
So,
Well, go back and...
They have... This. First of all, we arrived here 6 years ago.
Well, why do we need to?
Oh, we need to be able to do this. We talked about this last spring, I think, or over the summer. We have had no kind of insurance.
No recourse.
Yes.
Or cancellations or people taking, you know, we have, no, if people.
We're a small inn. We take a small deposit and.
We had lots of no-shows. We had five or six no-shows last year.
Just heartbreaking for us, for our small little place, for how many no-shows we had. And there's no way we can charge anyone.
We send emails and hope they...
And we just hope I could guilt them into it or that they're nice enough. A few people were nice enough, but 90%, please. They're like, oh, I sent a light deposit. Who cares if I don't show up? So now... We've got recourse.
Now, so 6 years ago when we arrived, we wanted to do this. We didn't. Now we take a deposit via bank transfer, which no one in North America really does. Here in Europe, it's much more popular and much more simple.
Mm-hmm.
But if you walk into a Bank of America and ask to do a wire, they look at you like, I've never done, you know.
Or it's
like,
expensive.
Or it's expensive. Or PayPal.
Mm-hmm. So 6 years ago, we requested it. They said, no, 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 no. Then we requested it again like 2 years ago. No, 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 no. Then I got something in the mail and that said this was possible. And I thought, son of a bitch, I have been trying to get this forever. I go in and this started in October. Like actively.
Last year.
Yes. Of actively trying to get this.
Threat of threats.
And of say, you know, arguments in the bank and guilt trips and, oh, you're leaving us without any insurance and making them try to, oh, it was.
Basically what it boils down to is there's one person who does this for our tiny little bank for all of the branches.
But it's also that no agriturismos really do this. So the type of business we are, it's an anomaly to want to take a credit card.
And
so many things are done under the table.
I don't think he wants to fill out the paperwork.
I don't either. Oh, so I got an email yesterday. It's possible. And now that we know that it's possible, it's still freaking difficult to get them to tell me how to do it. Then they want to come here. Then they want me to go to the bank. Then they want to do it over the phone. It's not possible to just send me the email with the information. I couldn't possibly figure that out. And so...
Well, listen, if it went smoothly, it would. This is par for the course.
I know.
So that was a funny... conversation yesterday, and then they called and we told them.
Yes,
they called and they said, okay, we'll do it over the phone. And Ashley's like, great, just call me back in 10 minutes because it's not our credit card little machine isn't plugged in, it's not.
I gotta go get it set up. Call me back 10 minutes. First of all, she hung up on me during that conversation, or something got cut off, so it was hysterical. She calls me right back. I say, okay, great, call me in 10, 20 minutes.
I'll just set up the machine.
I just gotta set up the machine. She said, no problem. I never heard back from her. Oh, and yesterday we did two interviews in Italian.
Yeah.
Oh my God. We were interviewed for Radio Blue, and we had to do an interview. That one was scary because that was just me by myself. And then they wanted a ricetta forte, like a popular
ricetta forte
recipe from the area. And so then Jason had to recite a really local recipe by heart and explain how the procedure and everything in Italian. And it was great. And we had another interview for an Italian magazine. And they're very curious because so many Italians are leaving Italy.
Young
at our of our age, that for people of our age who have come to Italy, that they just keep saying we're a story of
it's
contrary.
It's contrary.
So it's very curious for them. So it was interesting.
But we've been working on that with our Italian language.
I know, because we get nervous. It's like we know what to say, but you want to say it the right way and be as poetic as possible and well thought out. And then when we get asked the question, I blank and.
Ashley's move when she starts rambling is to then say, I don't know, and look at me and go silent. And then I'm left. It's an awesome strategy she has, because she can just sit there deer eyed and then I get to just jump in and finish.
Please finish up for me.
Yeah, awesome. So we've been working on media training the last couple of weeks. It's limoncello and orangecello time.
Oh my gosh. I posted a picture on Instagram at Ashley Bartner and Facebook yesterday of the two crates of gorgeous lemons and oranges that I have for, yes, making the blood orange. Southern and Italy. Limoncello.
Sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off. Southern Italy's pumping out citrus like nobody's business this time of year.
Gorgeous.
And if you're going to make limoncello or orange cello, get non-treated lemons. Mm-hmm. Very important. There was a post we saw yesterday of someone who has this all this weird waxy stuff floating up
kind
to the top.
Kind of looks like scummy.
And what I believe that is when you buy the lemons from the regular lemons from the grocery store, they treat them with that food wax. And the alcohol is going to pull – it's going to melt that wax or oil, whatever they put it on to make it look shiny.
Well, and not only that, she didn't have color.
No,
like,
she didn't.
It was so pale. And
so that might be cheapy lemons as well. So if you're going to do it, if you're going to spend the time and do it, spend the time and get not – they don't have to be organic per se. They just can't be treated with that wax.
Mm-hmm.
They really should be because you're sucking – you're pulling everything out of the peel.
I know.
And citrus really holds on to the pesticides.
Well, it took me like 3 hours to peel one crate of oranges.
Oh, my God. I told her. You are not hired as a prep cook at all. 3 hours to do a case of case of oranges?
That as I was doing it, he was walking the dog and I was talking on the phone. And and that I was on Skype, so I thought, oh, this is great. I'll just stand here and peel the oranges as I'm chatting away. But the problem with me is I talk with my hands. So even on the phone, even on Skype, no one's even looking at me. But I have to put down the oranges or I'm holding them and the hands start going all over the place. It took a long time. And I was trying to do it really carefully because you don't want to get much pith, so you have to be very precise.
25 minutes you have next time.
No, it's
you're so fired. You're fired.
Just don't even worry about it.
I don't care. I could care less, but I'm just saying if you work in
what a waste of time too.
Oh, what a waste of time.
I was
hours.
Like, my feet are tired. I was just standing here. Seriously, it was ridiculous.
Oh
my
man.
Gosh.
We got hosed last week with the – oh, I want to thank everyone who voted for us. What is the name of that website?
The Kitchen.
Yeah, The Kitchen. They had some contest. We were nominated. Ashley told me one day last week that we were nominated for one of the
best blogs from abroad.
Yeah, for this Comey's contest. So it was like, oh, man, we could get in the top five. I mean, we're not going to win. We're up against, like, David Leibowitz and real, like –
serious,
people.
Yeah.
But if you get into the top five, they give you a ton of pub and press, and they really post your blog. So it was like, we can get into the top five. So it was great. We did. We had
a huge push. It was incredible. Within 24 hours, within 24 hours, there was a we went from like eighth place to, or from eight votes to 104. People were awesome, you guys. And we can't thank you enough.
So in our hearts, we got into the top five. But then we got an email the next day that, oh, even though we posted that the contest ends at 5 a.m. Eastern, we're going to roll it back to midnight Eastern because I don't know.
They said there was a glitch.
I think we fixed the glitch.
That's all I could think about from Office Space. Did you fire him? We fixed the glitch.
It's like, so I don't know. Maybe they didn't get the results that they wanted.
I don't know, but it was a drag to be. We made it, and then so
whatever. Who cares? Does that sound like sour grapes? Who cares? I don't even care about it. No, you know what? I do care. We got in there. I would love to have our blog. Oops, batteries ran out on the recorder. All right.
Technical difficulties.
So that was some shady business going on. And speaking of other shady business, there's a little bit of a
no names
to protect the guilty.
Mm-hmm.
There is a
to not start a war.
Yeah, there's a farmer who is a very politically connected farmer of our immediate area who last year got in big trouble for dumping a bunch of cow manure right next to the river about 500 meters up from our house.
I am sure we talked about it on the podcast.
So now he doesn't dump it there anymore. But this is horrible. There are definitely rules and laws of where you can store manure for fertilizer for the fields. It has to be on a concrete slab, so raised from the ground so much, sides on all four sides, so it doesn't leach into the ground, and especially not near a water source because it will pollute the water source. So he's been doing that for God knows how many years. And last year, 2 years ago, mm-hmm. I forget when it was, someone knocks, comes up to our... Was it last year? Whatever. Someone comes up to our place and says, hey, is that your big pot, huge, ginormous pile of...
Dump site
for cow manure? Because that's horribly terrible. And I said, no. He says, I'm reporting this to the authorities. I said, great, do it. That's pollution. So there was a whole big scandal, and basically the equivalent of the Environmental Protection Agency of Italy and the Forestale, the Forest Service, and the police, and everyone came out here, and he cleaned it up and dug canals to keep the from leaching, but I don't think anything really happened. So now, for the last 6 or 8 months, because he can't store it anymore, so what he's been doing, this farmer, with political connections, is he has bought this type of machinery that goes on the back of the tractor. It's a big tank with what looks like a giant fire hose that will shoot water maybe 50, 60 meters in the air. And what he does is he makes a solution of the cow manure and water and then fires it onto the fields from the road with his tractor.
Shit, mister.
It makes the whole valley stink.
Oh, my God. It's horrible.
The thing with this is it doesn't – it's much more concentrated. And what you're supposed to do, from what I've been told, is you spray this and immediately turn the soil and plant. Mm-hmm.
Well, because I'm thinking that would be awesome when we do it with our garden.
If so, we didn't have to, like, carry wheelbarrows.
All right, let's do a little spray, flip it over. Done.
I know. So what he's doing is just leaving it on the fields. Well – why is that a problem? Well, it's been rainy. So when it rains, it's the now dried manure.
And these fields are already growing. These aren't freshly tilled.
These are
progressing.
Yeah.
Yes. Whatever crop is going, it's all starting.
Yeah. So what happens is when it rains, the water will drain out of the fields into the trenches the side of the road and then into the river. Well, this water going by is now brown, and it's basically watery poop, mm-hmm. and it's now going directly into the river still. So
it's
there's
awesome.
No difference between having a big pile right next to the river or spraying it into the fields and letting it just wash. It's all semantics. You're polluting the river. So I'm sick of it. Like, it's disgusting. I see this happening. I was on a walk with the dog yesterday other day.
And the dog freaking loves it and wants to run through the field of it.
And it's like you just watch raw sewage, raw manure going into the river, which is – here's what I don't understand. This person who's doing it was born here. His whole generations have lived here. He will die here. Why are you polluting the valley that your family – has made a living from
and
for God knows how many years.
And where your farmland is. Like, it doesn't make sense. Don't shit in your backyard, and it just...
So, I pride myself on keeping out of any...
But Jason's riled up.
I'm riled up. I really want to stay out of any, scandal or political or anything like that, but...
You were essentially politely warned. Not warned, like, keep your mouth shut, but
well,
I
went in... very quietly asked the advice of a few other people who would know in our area. And their thing was, yes, it's terribly illegal. And this person is very politically connected and he has connections in agriculture. We're in agriculture. And
basically think about it before you want to
think
walk
about
that
it before you, he basically, I was told it will start a war. So what do I do? I don't know. I want to make I don't want to be a sneak and just call it like drop a dime. I'd rather I'd rather go to him and be say, listen, you can't do this is pollution. People are talking about this. It's not going unnoticed that there are rivers of mm-hmm. poop going to
so
the
go
river.
Talk to him.
But then what happens when he continues to do it and now I do drop a dime?
I don't know. Podcast listeners, what do you think? Weigh in.
Weigh in. I want to make a video of it.
Yeah, that's what we were saying. Do that. Then you have something
I need to get it on film.
Mm-hmm.
It's just stupid. And he's not even doing it in the whole field.
That's
he's
the other thing.
He's just driving down the road and spraying in, as far as the thing will go into the field. And it's only going 50, 60 meters into the field. The fields are hundreds of meters. I mean, they're giant fields.
It's so weird.
And it's the and what makes it even stupider is if he went into the field and did it up high, it wouldn't drain immediately into the canal.
Exactly. He's doing it right along the road, which is right along the river. So...
I don't know.
You're right. If he'd done it up into the hill part, it'd be like...
At least it would take time. Yes! By the time it got all the way down, he would have turned the field and planted, and it would have been fine. But, yeah, awesome. So I don't know what to do about that. I don't want to turn a blind... I don't want to just keep... Because that's how this stuff keeps going on, is people are afraid to say anything. But at what cost?
I think that we should talk to a friend of ours who has organic and not far from here, who's super into the environmental... rights and really protecting the area. She might have
But I know her her thing will be like, oh, absolutely, do it now. But she's been here for 30 years. She's also very much in there's politics in everything.
I know.
There agriculture is so political, it's absolutely insane. So she's in that circle, so she can get people on her side, like, who are we? We're nobodies and foreigners and guests in this country.
I don't want to be the whistleblower, but I don't want that to, I don't want the poop river either. So it's good life living out in the country, but sometimes even out here in beautiful Italy, there's these agricultural struggles, that's for sure. You think of it as picture perfect and absolutely ideal at all times, but there's definitely...
I just don't get it. Well, thank goodness also we get our water from behind our house about 300 meters up. So it's not even – we don't get it from the river.
And it's not in near a field. This is in the mountain
spring. In the hills, we have a mountain spring.
It doesn't come into contact with anything before it hits us.
So thank God for that. But still, though – so I don't know. That was a – something to think about. On lighter notes, we've gotten into – we get updates now from this the local dot. IT thing.
We talk about it each week. We could just jump into it.
All right, fine. They had good ones. Since
they're just fun topics, especially for the podcast, too, to use as a jumping point.
So we, through our language classes, we're now getting into trying to learn idioms more and the little parts of the language
that make... You know, the early bird gets the worm.
Yeah, that makes it fun. So
especially because I always try to... Well, this is why it's perfect. I try to, like, take the... You know, some sayings do translate. Like, we'll come to something like slow as a snail, for example. But many things that that I try to say, how do you say, like, the early bird gets the worm or something?
It puts hair on your chest.
So strong it'll put hair on your chest.
That one did not translate.
These things look back at you like, why would you ever say that, or why would someone say that to you? So
here we go. You may think you have mastered the Italian language, only to be stumped when someone starts referring to horses and snakes in day-to-day conversation. The locals come up with the definitive list of must-know animal sayings. Here we go. Top 10 best animal sayings in Italian. Mosca bianca, the white fly. To be described as a white fly may not seem very appealing, but it is in fact a good thing. It means you're a positive exception. So I guess a white fly is rare.
It definitely isn't the same as calling someone a black widow.
Ba-dum-bum. Number two.
Oh, I like this one.
Is great. Moglie e boi dei paese tuoi. To want wives and oxen from your own town means that you would like to marry only from someone in your hometown or country who will stay faithful to your traditions. I like that. I'll say it again since I garbled it. Moglie e boi dei paese tuoi.
That one is great. And I've heard, like, Fusciani, these people are so local and so proud, will say they're apache before they're Italiano. And it's true. So I love that one.
Parenti serpenti. Italian families may be tight-knit, but you can't choose your relations. Some Italians lament their bad relationships with their snake relatives.
Parenti doesn't necessarily mean parents. It just means family.
Family. Genitor is actually parents.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you for coughing into the microphone.
Gross.
Sputare il rospo. It's Rospo is a toad. So Sputare is spat the toad or spit the toad. It's unclear whether an Italian once literally spat the toad, but this saying is frequently used, like the English spill the beans, to describe a confession or someone getting something off their chest.
I have never heard that one.
I've never heard that one either.
Say that one
Sputare
again.
Sputare il Rospo. Sputare to spit. Click here to continue off their ad. Ooh, I like this one too. Cavallo di battaglia.
Wow. I'm not near it, so I can't even attempt to try.
Cavallo di battaglia. 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 Translating as battle horse, this phrase refers to a person's forte, their strength, such as making the best pasta you've ever tasted. I hear this as piatto forte or piatti forte. I've never heard the battle horse. I like that.
I like that.
If I could say
I know. It's too bad.
How, you say it.
But I'm not near it. Battaglia?
No, it's not battaglia. It's battaglia. Oh, it is battaglia. Shoot. Whatever. I'm winning. Definitely a contest in these lessons. Gaggi uses this one all the time. Avere un cervello di gallina.
It's a shock that he would say this.
Avere un cervello di gallina is the brain of a chicken.
Bird brain.
Bird brain. Totally. That one's just
classic.
Translated. Yeah. I think I've been called that once or twice. Non si sente volare una mosca.
I like it.
Non si sente volare una mosca. Not even hear a fly flying is the equivalent to the English, you could hear a pin drop. Out here, you can definitely, this is definitely true, but in most Italian cities, maybe not. I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
This is true for, not true for us. Andare a letto con le galline. Whenever your imagination may lead you to believe, to go to bed with the chickens is perfectly acceptable in Italian society. It means a person who goes to bed early. Andare a letto con le galline.
Gaggi says that one when he's tired.
And lento come una lumaca. A change in language does not speed up the humble snail. With the phrase slow as a snail directly translated from English to Italian. Lento come una lumaca. Lumaca is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
If you've never had snails here in Italy, they're awesome.
Or they're horrible.
Why? Well, in this area, they're awesome.
Yes, but where did we have them one time and it was like dirty?
They were gritty. They didn't wash them properly.
That just stuck with me.
I like them here. They make them in a rich sauce of
when they do with wild fennel. And they pour it over that
polenta.
That is so good.
It's awesome.
They also do sea snails like that too.
Fare la civetta. Hooting of owls may not be the most romantic sound, but Italian to be an owl means to flirt. Ooh.
Oh.
Fare la civetta. I didn't know that.
Neither did I.
Oh, I like that one. There's two that aren't on here that we hear all the time. One is in bocca al lupo.
Crepi.
Crepi al lupo, which means in bocca al lupo is you say to a hunter, you never say good luck, buona fortuna. That is not
good. No, it's like saying good luck to someone when they're going to do acting. Yeah, like on stage, you say break a leg.
Yeah, so to a hunter, if you see a hunter, you say in bocca al lupo. It means in the mouth of the wolf. And they need to reply with crepi.
Which means death or death to the wolf.
Crepi al lupo.
However, if you're a fisherman and not a hunter, my favorite is in culo alla balena, which is in the ass of the whale.
And you would answer that with speriamo che non cacchi.
See, and I hope it's not.
Hope there's no shit. Cocky like cocky, cocky like caca. In culo alla balena. So if you encounter any
fishermen
here in Italy,
if you said that, they would just probably crack up that you even knew it. In culo alla balena.
Mm-hmm. Or in bocca al lupo for more around here. And then this one I've never heard. In culo al riccio, which is
a hedgehog.
In the ass of a hedgehog. And you would reply, meglio che un ricco in culo.
Riccio.
Riccio in culo. So it's better to be in the ass of the hedgehog than have a hedgehog in your ass.
Uh-huh.
Which I guess. So a lot of ass talk in these sayings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it always goes to the butt, but
I don't know either. How do you segue from that?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh. I think we have our song.
Is that it for you?
Oh no, we were going to talk about Fano. Speaking of in the ass of the whale and fishermen, we went to Fano for lunch and had a wonderful little date.
We found, well, not found a new restaurant. We tried a new restaurant in Fano. Normally,
I'm a really good restaurant searcher.
Yeah, if we want to go for, anytime we go to Fano, it's always for fish. There's no reason to eat anything else in Fano. It's the sea where all the boats come in. So if we send our guests to two places. One is Pesce Azzurro, and this is a very much fisherman's cooperative kind of slide your tray. You get what you served. It's cheap. I think it's now 11 euro.
11. Woo!
But it's a complete meal. Like
It's four courses, I think.
Four or five courses. Uh-huh. And it's wine and water for 11 euro. And
it's slide your tray.
Yeah, it's a cafeteria.
It's a fisherman's cooperative cafeteria.
But it's super fresh. And listen, you can't beat it for 11
No, bucks. And I don't think I've ever – I have a hearty appetite. I don't know if I've ever finished my plate. There's certain things where Jason always ends up there's always the and they it's always like you said so fresh, but it's really good.
Yeah, it's not don't think of it as a cafeteria. It's just that setting to keep it cheap. Mm-hmm. They call it self-service.
They'll always have some sort of anchovies or sardines and
in the menu changes
salad
all the time.
And a pasta or rice dish.
Yeah, there's a primo secondo and usually two or three antipasta. Mm-hmm. And it's good. Can't believe
really?
It.
And if you're in a big group or with kids and you think, oh God, I don't want to go into a restaurant or something, great place. They could run around. However, you have to wait in line outside.
Yeah, it's packed in the summertime, but they've
made it much bigger and much more better expedition.
Yeah. If you want to step it up to around the 20, 25 euro ahead for lunch, you go two doors down to La Quinta. And La Quinta
is... It's really
is,
like a block and a half.
Is it a block and a half?
Something like that.
Okay. It's like 20 bucks a head. We eat there like pigs for 40 euro,
oh
wine, water, everything. Yeah. And that, you're definitely taking a step up in quality.
It's family run. It's obvious. You know, it's the parents. It's the brother and sister. And this place gets packed as well with locals.
I would recommend not going there on the weekends because I feel like on the weekends it's too many people for them to make the food really good. When we go, we usually go on like lunch during the week, and it's mostly people of, you know, business people of the, not business, well, people on their lunch hour or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the food is much better because they don't have to. So on the weekends, if like for instance their clams and mussels, they have to make a huge vat of it and then they just scoop it and serve it.
And in fact, when we were at lunch for Gaji's birthday, 90% of the people were from Fano, and we were talking to them about where their favorite places and stuff. And before we get to their recommendations, it seemed hands down when it comes to seafood on the coast, get there early for lunch. This is, you don't want to show up at a late lunch because when that fish is gone, it's gone. And, or like Jason's saying, they make a big thing of the mussels and clams, whatever their special is. And you want to get there when it's all fresh.
Brodetto or something.
Yeah.
They'll make a big, huge pot of Brodetto. And if you get there at 1 o'clock for lunch, the Brodetto's cooked perfectly. You get there at 2:30 for lunch, and the Brodetto's overcooked.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Brodetto is a type of fish stew that it's very famous around here. Mm-hmm. So so that's the middle. And then the other day, we decided to try something different. And Ashley did found another place called Chili.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, Jason, there's no way he's going to want to go to this place because it's called Bistro Chili's. And I thought he's going to be like, Chili's. I don't want to go to some, Red Robin.
But this place was really good. Now, this is the next level up. This is like 30 euro ahead.
Super cute ambiance.
But now you're talking, now we went to a restaurant. Now it's cloth napkins, cloth table, you know, nice, you know, base plates.
Instead of ordering the house wine by the liter, you order bottles of wine.
Yes. And it's definitely the fish took another step up for another
10
euro.
And in presentation.
And in presentation as well. They did something really interesting, which is they are pairing fish with cheeses.
Yeah, Gaji and many other Italians from the sea will say that is a no-no. Many of the we had not ever been to a seafood restaurant here in Fano where there's ever been cheese.
No, so this place had
just a parm for your pasta.
Yeah, like they made a carpaccio of tuna and they put ribbons of aged cheese on the top.
They did the that kind of fried eggplant. What's that called? The eggplant. Is that what you just said?
They did a tuna parmigiana. Grilled eggplant and then put fish in them in between and with a little bit of cheese in there as well and a little bechamel. But
that was the only one that wasn't so good.
No, it tasted like hot dogs.
It was so weird. I took a bite and I was like, oh, I love it. And he was like, you just like it because there's cheese. And I was like, mm-hmm. And he goes, it kind of tastes like hot dogs. Oscar Mayer to me. And I was like, whatever. And then I took another bite and I was like, oh my God. All I can taste is hot dog. But we digress because that was the only one that was kind of weird.
Everything else was great. Ashley got a carbonara made of fish, right?
With squid ink.
Yeah.
And oh my God, I loved it. I was it was kind of a cooler day, and I was looking for something a little heavier, and to have that kind of creamy with the pancetta. That was the other thing it had. It
had fish with meat.
Which, again, normally you wouldn't see combined. Gaji is just a purist.
And the maestro. So Gaji's friend, we call him the maestro. He's a great fish chef. I mean, mm-hmm. He goes out on this multimillionaire guy's yacht.
Wasn't he in the Navy as a chef, too?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think maybe. Because that's where he learned to cook in a small space.
That's right. And he's awesome at fish. He's Fanese, and he goes out on this millionaire guy's yacht and is his private chef all summer long. So he knows, and he...
The owner of Todd's.
Is it the owner of Todd's? Okay, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
The owner of Todd's is not scraping pennies together. He has a yacht that...
Danielle goes out for, 6 months, four or five months. Yeah. It's insane. anyway, he's a purist.
He's a purist. I was talking to him about it, and he was just like, it's in style, but it's not something that he's into.
Because for them, if you're going to eat fish, you want to taste the fish.
Yeah, it's true.
I've come to really enjoy that aspect of the fish.
That the flavors aren't kind of all together, which is a lot of North American. Uh-huh. We find they put all these different flavors together, where here they just want
like a mango chutney on top of a fish. What the fuck? Sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
Just don't say the F word.
I didn't mean to. It came out because you want to taste the fish.
Yeah. So I think I got the best plate of the day. My primo was spaghetti with butter and anchovy with then they took the
breadcrumbs.
They took breadcrumbs and they quickly fried them in a little olive oil and put those down first, and then the spaghetti on top of it with these beautiful, beautiful anchovies mixed into it. And was it sage? I don't remember what.
I don't know, but now I want to go back.
It was
delicious.
So what you do when they put the plate is you mix the breadcrumbs into the pasta. Oh my God, it was just so salty and I love anchovies. Sardines, anchovies, those blue oily fishes, I love.
Now, so it was also interesting, depending on who you talk to, when we asked the daughter of the owner, the waitress of the restaurant, she said that this was based on a crostini. With butter.
Butter and anchovy.
And anchovy. And when we talked to Daniele about it, he said, oh, it's Sicilian. wouldn't consider it as being really something from here. But it was delicious.
It was fantastic.
And a really nice... It
was a step up. It was a really beautiful lunch. And like
still
I said,
not expensive.
It was 30 euro ahead for this one.
And the best Moretta. It's worth it to go for that. I swear to God. The Moretta, we talked about this a couple podcasts ago because we did it on one of our online cooking classes. It's a cafe from Fano with
equal parts of rum,
brandy
and anise.
And sugar. Not equal parts with the sugar, but and you have sugar.
Oh, the liquor
and then,
mix is equal parts.
And then you add sugar and buccia di limone, lemon zest.
It was just fantastic.
Woman
I don't know.
Made it off the freaking hook.
She did it so great. You're supposed to have three levels. You'll see the liquor on the bottom, the coffee in the middle, and then the crema from the cream that
the coffee machine
makes. Not cream as in cream, but the crema, the foam from the coffee. Not the milk foam, but the foam from... so it's three levels. She did great. It was fantastic. And we went back and asked her, this is the best Moretta, and she showed us how to make it.
And gave us another one.
Another one.
I was like, yes. It was so good. We left a little bit buzzed. It was delicious, though.
Two new wines.
And it was right by the water. So it was a really easy location.
Oh, yeah. It's as you come down into Sassonia Beach in Fano, it's right on the corner. It's nice. So that was so three levels of fish restaurants. Mm-hmm. You can go for the most economical, which is still fresh and good. Take a step up. That's at 11. Then you take a step up to about 20 euro ahead. You eat like a pig still. wine, water, everything. And then if you want to take the next step to about 30, depending on what you order, the chili place. And I think that's a great, I mean, still.
I know. Well, since we're talking about this, let's add in a few more tidbits. Do we have time?
Sure.
If you want, I'll save this one for the last, actually. Another option that we love to recommend, it sounds really funny when guests see the business card for the place because they think you're American and this name screams American. Why would you send me there when I'm in Italy? It's called Yankee, but you pronounce it Janky. And it's at the end of the beach, and so it's away from everything. It's the only one that we really like that is literally, you know, steps from the beach. Steps
it's
from.
It's right across the
it's
street.
It's right across the street, and it's open air outside.
Tents. They have awnings.
Like awning
it's
sails.
It's actually kind of a pop-up restaurant.
Yeah, almost. They only are open during the season of this, you know, the summer season. If you drive by there in the winter, like we just did, it looks like just abandoned. It's so
it looks
funny.
Like it's ready for destruction.
I know. But they for mussels and clams.
That's all you order there.
And they have great, the flatbread pizza.
They have, oh yeah. They have a flatbread, this flatbread with oil and salt and rosemary.
Rosemary.
And then you just get mussels and clams and french fries. Mm-hmm. And that's you look
bottle
around,
of wine.
And you look around, and that's all people are mm-hmm. ordering is mussels. It's just big, giant bowls of mussels and clams.
Delicious.
Delicious. And white wine and garlic.
Uh-huh. Now, the place that we haven't – God, I can't – I feel like we haven't been there. Nadi. And that was the place that a bunch of the people from Fano at Gaggi's party were talking about. And they said that they used to be open at dinner, but now they're only open at lunch. You must make a reservation. It fills up very fast, and you have to get there at 1 o'clock. And there was a lot of rules involved with this.
Which is cool because you have to train your guest.
I totally agree too. That's why I'm saying it. It's really funny. And speaking of training guests, Gaggi was trying to train some people from Piobico about our pizza nights too at his party. It was hysterical.
Right, you're gonna get
I know,
off.
I know. But so we'll check out that place next maybe. But now that we were talking about that pasta, I'm craving it. So I think it's either Trattoria Nadi or Osteria Nadi. I know it's definitely on TripAdvisor if you look it up. But I don't think we've been there.
I have no idea.
The other place I would recommend in Fano for an experience is the boat.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember the name. We'll post the link. It's on our blog and everything. Our friend, actually the maestro that Jason was speaking of before, he went in a couple years ago and to get a wooden yacht. Like, how would you explain
it? They have a giant, not giant. It's good size, though. It's a big wooden
plenty
yacht.
Plenty big.
Sailboat. Wooden sailboat.
And him and his friend Roberto, he's a chef and fisherman also, bought this boat and started doing kind of trips to nowhere is what I like to
cruise
call.
Cruise to nowhere.
Uh-huh. Sail along the edge of the kind of beach, that, you know, go out to sea a little bit. Not the edge
sail
of the beach.
Sail along the edge of the beach.
Go out
you
to
go
sea.
You go a few hundred meters out to sea and you go on a little cruise, sailboat ride for, I don't know, a couple hours, an hour and a half.
Depending on where the wind's blowing, you go north or south and it's gorgeous. And they offer it for lunch or for dinner.
They throw the anchor. You can jump in the Adriatic, get out, and then they have a great – it's always the same thing. It's a pasta with fish, some kind of fish, whether it's crab or
– Oh, normally they have the bombolini or something too, a little antipasti with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they'll have one or two antipasta, a pasta with fish, and then always
oh my
grilled
God.
Fish with the bread
and like
crumbs.
All too you much. Can eat. Too much. Too much. Too much. And – But it's gorgeous because you're jumping in the Adriatic, the wind's in your hair, it smells like the sea, you've got this nice white wine you've been drinking all afternoon, and then the grill is just cooking and that smoke's pouring out and you smell the fish grilling and you're like, this is gorgeous. You eat up, you fall asleep on the boat and you head back to the port. It's a great,
I think during the week for lunch, it's like 30 or 35 euro. Uh-huh. It's maybe, I think it's 40 or 45 on the weekends. You have to make a reservation for, they have a space for, I think 30, 35 people. It's a good sized boat. You're not uh-huh. cramped.
You're not cramped at all. Even if there's other people. And, if you're listening to this and you speak English, you'll be the only person speaking English on that boat.
Oh, absolutely. and there's, yeah, even when there's 30, we've been on there plenty of times when there's been 30, 35 people and you don't feel like you're elbow to elbow.
No.
At all. There's plenty of space everywhere.
It's really fun. So it for is. An experience, that's a different way to eat out in Fano.
We've been, since we went to lunch the other day and we were, since we never go to lunch, we wanted to try a different wine.
Yeah.
So around here, everyone drinks Verdicchio with fish, or
Bianchello.
Bianchello is another popular one. But there's a couple of beautiful white wines from down south at the border of Abruzzo and Marche that we don't really – it's a little too far for us to drive to get these wines, but they're absolutely delicious.
And that would be Pecorino and Passerina. And Passerina is beautiful with fish because it's really floral. And it's very light. And I don't know. I
liked it. I would say it's kind of like a Bianchello, but more – not as acidic almost.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's a beautiful Passerina, beautiful white wine.
Light.
Light.
Summer's hot day.
I say floral, but not sweet.
No.
Not
aromatic.
Aromatic. Thank you. And the other one is a Pecorino. And it, easy to remember, Pecorino is like Pecorino, like the cheese. It's more fatty.
I don't like this one.
I like it, but you have to eat something fatty.
If you like Chardonnay, you'll like a Pecorino.
Mm-hmm.
Like a fatty Chardonnay mm-hmm. with that kind of, what is the Chardonnay?
It leaves that on
that
your tongue.
Yeah, it's got that. Leaves it like kind of coats your tongue. It's much, and when you swirl it in, I know there's real terms for all
I know
this.
We are not.
We drink
wine. No, sommelier.
No, I don't know. But if you swirl it in the glass, you see how it stays. You know, mm-hmm. it hangs on the glass a lot more. It's thick. It's,
mm-hmm. So with the fish, I liked the Passerina. Yeah, it was nice. Verdicchio, Bianchello, I'll go every time. But Passerina, it was really nice to switch it up.
I would say Pecorino is more particular. There's very much a divide. Some people love it. Some people don't care for mm-hmm. it at all. Everyone likes Passerina.
I would think so.
Yeah, it's just light and good. Mm-hmm. Coming up, we're going to take off this week from doing our cooking live online cooking classes. We're going to take a week off. Coming up on the 9th of March,
mm-hmm.
9 March, we'll have another one, and we'll pimp that one for next week. We don't have to talk about it now, but this weekend, I think we're going to make a film.
Yeah. We have, some ideas of
pivots. We're going to pivot.
And we have some ideas of projects we want to do in the future and short films or kind of a little series we'd like to produce.
So we're kicking around. I think we'll maybe go down. There's a winemaker we love, and his name is Juiced. We call him Juicy. What's his first name?
It's It's Piero.
Piero Juicy?
Uh-huh.
You sure?
No. Now I'm going to get nervous.
Anyway.
It's a double name.
It's like Gaji. No one calls him.
I know.
By
I'm
his
like,
first
oh,
name.
Shoot.
Everyone calls him Juicy. Like, no one calls Gaji Satimio. There's
no,
very few people who call him that. His name is Gaji.
I know.
Even Rosanna, his wife, calls him Gaji.
I know.
So I think that might be the same thing. His name is Juicy. And mm-hmm. He's just so – he makes our favorite La Crema and
– our favorite rosé.
Our favorite rosé. He's a great – he's a character. He's so passionate.
He is. He just – he almost makes you – not to sound dramatic, to weep, but he when he talks about so lovingly the wine and how he names it and the passion he has for it and continuing his father's traditions, it's beautiful. So we want to go down and share his story. We've got some video of him from before, from the wine bottling wine video that's already on YouTube. But we're going to start working on some new projects for you guys.
All right. Very good. So we'll see if we actually do that. All right, we're going to bring it home. Thank you so much for listening this week, you guys. Did we hit all our things on the list?
I think so.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening. If you like what you hear, tell a friend, share the love, let them know about what we're doing out here. Without you guys, we have no, but we don't advertise. So without you guys spreading the love, we're nowhere. So we really can't thank you guys enough for your votes for the stupid contest and for
just
your
listening.
Your listening and your continued support. If you want to reach us, bring it home, Ash.
All right. And real quick, can you pull up the song of the week?
Oh, shoot. I forgot your right song of
I
the
know.
Week.
I was like, we got it.
Okay, we're going cheat. Okay, this week we are going, we're taking it back, baby. We're going back to the 70s. You should see.
We like to switch it up.
You have to put a picture of
I'm
this guy.
I'm going to.
His name's, I can't pronounce his last name.
Oh, Peppino Gagliardi.
Gagliardi. He is awesome. He's got big flowing 70s hair with pork chop sideburns, a mm-hmm. white suit with a white vest, huge 70s butterfly collar, and a thick black tie. It's awesome. I want that look. Anyway,
this is a great kind of Italian 70s love song.
It's cheesy. It's really
totally cheesy, but we thought we'd throw it up there. Really, it was that we loved the suit.
Yeah, I saw the suit and it was like, I don't care what he's singing. I want to hear what it is.
All right. So the name of the song?
Come le viole.
Come le viole. All right. Bringing it home. Thank you so much for listening. Like Jason said, you can find us at Shoot Us Info. Or, oh, my God. What am I doing?
Start it again. Take two.
Hey, thanks so much for listening. Send us your questions if you want. We'd love to keep answering your questions as we go. Shout outs if you want any. It's really fun to give those out. And you can send us an email at info@letavlamarque.com. You can find anything you want on our blog or website. You can find what? Oh, okay. YouTube, Vimeo, Instagram, Twitter, all those places. La Tavola Marche. LATAVOLAMARCHE.
All right, very good. So from beautifully way too warm for the 26th of February, Piobico, Italia. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next one.
Arrivederci.
Ciao.
Son tornate le viole qua giù, ma non hanno colore per te, quella calda tenerezza che tu portavi nei tuoi occhi, no, non c'è più. Come le viole anche tu ritornerai, la primavera con te riporterai, avevi la mia vita tra le tue braccia. Te ne sei andata, non so, te ne sei andata con chi, dai sogni miei. Forse domani, chissà, tu piangerai, quando il mio amore lo so, tu capirai. Rifioriranno tante primavere, come le viole anche tu ritornerai. Fioriranno tante primavere, come le viole anche tu ritornerai. Rifioriranno tante primavere, come le viole, tu ritornerai.